Ask any special education teacher about the job, and eventually you'll hear about paperwork, reports, and forms for every aspect of instruction. It's a workload that cuts into the time teachers have to plan or teach students directly. As Rowan Moore-Garrity reports, all that paperwork is one reason the bulk of teaching in special ed is now done by paraeducators, often with no more training than a high school diploma.
Heidi Weatherly is a special education teacher at Grandview High School. She says she's made a choice not to fill out progress reports or tweak her students' individualized education programs while school's in session.
I'm there to serve the kids. And, you know, the paperwork becomes burdensome, I mean, overwhelming. I've cried over it lots of times because I just can't get it done.
In addition to the 35 hours a week she's in the classroom, Weatherly estimates she spends about 20 hours a week, sometimes more, doing paperwork after school. For teachers with children or other obligations after work, that's not an option. So schools have come to rely more and more on people like Carlotta Lafferty.
Come on in. How are you?
Lafferty just retired after 19 years as a special education paraeducator in Yakima, one of more than a million paraeducators working in American public schools. Back in the 1960s, her mother was one of the first paras hired in the city.
To go down to school and do playground duty.
At first, paraeducators made photocopies and took attendance. Today, paras are involved in virtually every aspect of schooling. Working in the classroom, Lafferty says her tasks usually mirrored what the teacher, Marion, did.
What I would do is Marion would have a group of kids, I'd have a group of kids.
Even as paras' tasks have become more and more like teachers, though, the job qualifications have stayed the same. A high school diploma and an entrance exam. In special education, the push for more paraeducators has been driven by costly federal requirements that emphasize one-on-one help and work in small groups. Schools on a tight budget can hire two or three paraeducators for the price of a single teacher.
I quit at $15.96. It took me 19 years to get to $15.
In Washington State, paraeducators now provide nearly two-thirds of the hours of instruction for students in special ed, ostensibly as a team under the supervision of a teacher.
You can't be a team unless you meet.
Kent Gerlach studies paraeducator training and supervision at Pacific Lutheran University.
Paras arrive when kids arrive and leave when kids leave, not allowing for any interaction with the teacher.
Carlotta Lafferty overcame that problem by putting in extra unpaid hours each week to meet with her supervising teacher after school. That helped her get to know her students through their files.
It's important if we are supposed to know everything about each one of those children in that classroom.
But in many districts, paras don't have access to those documents, the ones that outline a student's disabilities and learning goals. That lack of information is compounded by the fact that paras often come to the job with little to no training. Doug Nelson says you might show up for your first day of work, and the principal will say,
okay, here's six autistic students. Instruct them. It happens all the time.
Nelson represents paraeducators at the Public School Employees Union. With paraeducators in special education, Nelson says schools suffer from warm body syndrome, where the students with the highest needs receive most instruction from the least qualified employees.
So here's the point that I make to legislators. What type of result do you think you're going to get? How are you going to close the opportunity gap?
In January, legislators are poised to take another look at those results as they consider a bill that would strengthen training and education standards for Washington's 25,000-plus paraeducators. Rowan Moore-Garrity, Northwest Public Radio News, Yakima.